Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be in the presence of a mighty God, isn't it? Amen. It's a beautiful place to be in the authority of a mighty, loving God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, we've had a really blessed weekend, amen, a powerful weekend, a weekend that we can really see and experience the greatness of our God in mighty ways. We've heard the voice of God spoken into our hearts, amen. And we're just grateful today, amen. How many of us could just say we're grateful that we serve a living God? A God that is still alive and well and moving in great and mighty ways. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Father the Lord, that you are such a good, good God. Oh, Father, you, Lord, we exalt you and we lift you up, Father. And Father, we just thank you for your presence and your greatness. Father, I pray, Lord, that even this morning, Father, that the blessing and the favor of God would be over this place. That your Holy Spirit, Father, would have its freedom to move here this, Lord. As Father, even as this is a special day, Father, for this church and this community, Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Father, bless this offering, Father. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Bring your offerings forward. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning is a special day because we're going to be installing some deacons, and it's an exciting time for the church because God is bringing up and raising up some leadership. Amen. And we just thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we'd like to bring forward the individuals that are going to be coming up. Amen. So I'd like to bring up Sister Joella. And Brother Joey wasn't able to make it today because he's feeling so sick. But we also want to bring up Paula and David. Please come up. Brother Richard and Sister Naomi and Sister Sue. Amen. And one of the things about bringing forward deacons and establishing leadership in the church, what's important to recognize is the dedication of the individuals and the calling in their lives and even their leadership. And we as pastors have been praying and seeking the Lord, and I really believe that the Lord has placed this in our hearts to honor and to bring forward because, you know, the thing is, working the church is not an easy thing. And we need individuals around us that are there as a team to help us and establish it. So, did you have something to say?
But the other part of this is that when we look to add numbers in leadership, it's preparing for growth. It's preparing for the future. And so as a part of this, we're adding another layer onto the foundation of the church. And so we're excited because we're just believing God for bigger and better things ahead. Although we don't know all the details, we do know we need people to help get us there. And we need all of us together to understand and work towards that. And so that's one of the reasons even having this weekend, because as we know our identity and who we are and what our purpose is, we can come alongside the other person and the other person and the other person, and a strong foundation is built. Amen. And so with that, this is another layer of what we're looking to do. And the deacons are like the hands and the feet of the church. And so they come forward with a servant's heart. And so this is the piece that we're really looking for. So that was for us, the motive of the heart, a servant's heart, was the first thing that we were looking for. Availability is the second. And then modeling that behavior. Have we seen it already? Have we seen it? And so we've been walking with these people up here for a good while, some years and years. And so with that, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to honor them at this time, and they are honoring all of you. They're saying, we are willing to help be a part and lead what you're looking to do and to be a part of this, what God is wanting to do up here at Living Word Ministries and even as a part of the kingdom. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So the beautiful thing about it is there is a charge for them. And there's a charge as a church so that we can, like Pastor Gil was saying, it's a time of coming together, uniting, and moving forward into the things that God has for us. And how many can say amen to that? And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to Pastor Floyd, Pastor Tamika. They speak over.
Hallelujah. What a joyful occasion. Amen. It is a beautiful thing to see leadership added to the church. As Pastor Gil said, as the church move into a new season of growth. Amen. How many know we don't wait till the growth happens before we prepare by faith? We put the layers in first. Then, in faith, the Lord begins to add to the numbers. Amen. Amen. The term deacon comes from the Greek word meaning servant or minister. Amen. It is a noble position that truly ministers to the local church by serving the church, coming alongside the pastors and elders to better facilitate service to the congregation, whether spiritual or material needs. In accordance with 1 Timothy chapter 3, the character deacon is as such. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Verse 12 says, a deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Let me also explain that we all are servants of the living God. And deacons are not subservient or beneath anyone. It is a function of the church. And understand that the first deacons that we see in the book of Acts moved in power and authority as the apostles did. So if you can get a vision that while they were sweeping, people were getting healed. While they were cleaning toilets, people were getting delivered. While they were getting people together for the services and everything, people were also getting healed coming in and going out. Amen. I think it's important to understand that disposition doesn't hinder you from moving in the power and the authority of God. That's in you because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to set a foundation for that, to understand that is very important, that all the more you should move in the gifts. It's just that your location sometime in the church versus being in the pulpit, you may be doing it in the parking lot, in the wherever around the church serving. Amen. Somebody might get healed in your shadow. You never know. Amen. It's a huge responsibility. Amen. Since we have women, which is really wonderful to have women serving in this capacity, we see in Scripture that God is no respecter of persons or genders in office. Amen. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 says, women were also able to hold the office of a deacon, in that Paul writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a deacon of the church in Caesarea. Isn't that wonderful? Scripture is scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Scripture makes it clear that ministering as a deacon is a rewarding and honorable calling in the church and should be respected by the local church. Amen. So today you have been selected by the pastors and elders of this church because you meet the qualifications and character of a deacon described in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Therefore, we give you this charge.
The charge presented to you this morning is, do you promise to strive to live a life worthy of the call, that you may honor Christ by your life? And do you promise in the presence of the congregation to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church, and to the best of your knowledge and ability to discharge all duties, to perform all duties of this office? Amen. To the congregation, to the congregation, do you acknowledge these men and women as deacons in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in fulfillment of the mission of this church? Amen. Thank you, Father. Let us bow our head in a word of prayer as we seal this time. Heavenly Father, we bless your name and we give you glory and honor, O God. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, O God. We thank you for the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to reveal, Lord God, those you have placed in our midst, Lord God, to operate in the office of deacon, Lord God. Father God, as we ordain and commission them today, Lord God, as men and women who has been identified as faithful and committed to a work, Lord God. Father God, to the office of not only serving you, Lord God, but serving your people. Father God, we thank you for this new season, Lord God, as they draw closer to you, O God. Father God, we thank you that they're stepping into another level of glory, Lord God. Father God, not only to serve in your house, Lord God, but serving your people in the ministry, Lord God, of prayer, Lord God, the ministry of healing, the ministry of deliverance, Lord God, that everything that they find their hands to do, they would do it unto you, O God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that they have transitioned, Lord God, to the next level in you, Father. Father God, we pray for strength. We pray for grace. We pray for fortitude, Lord God, to continue to press forward in what you've designed for them to do, O God. Father God, we cover them in your blood. Father God, we declare that no weapon that has been formed or fashioned against them shall prosper. Father God, we thank you that as they continue to look to you as the author and the finisher of their faith, O God, they would always see you in the midst, Lord God, and find your glory. So we cover them in your precious blood, Lord God. And we declare, Lord God, that they have been found faithful, and that this day forward, Lord God, that they would walk in the power and the glory of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And just want to also present you with a couple of items. One, a certificate of installation and ordination into this position, and then read to you this verse. And this really has been a guiding verse for this weekend and this season that we're in. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Of course, we're familiar with it, but it says, I know the plans I have for you, okay, declares the Lord. He's declaring it. He's declaring it over all of us this morning. He knows the plans he has for each one of us. Amen? And it's plans to prosper you, plans to prosper each one of us. And with that, and not to harm us. Doesn't that feel good? It's not to harm us. And it's plans to give us a hope and a future. So, Father God, we just speak that forth. We declare that over the deacons as they're installed in leadership of Living Word, as well as, Father God, this congregation, that your plans for us are good, and you know our plans and our future, and you hold them in your hands. So, Father God, help each one of us open our eyes to see and our ears to hear that which the Spirit is doing, that we may know, Father God, how to walk into the fullness of our destiny in you. And we thank you, Father God, for a new level and believing that greater things are yet ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then we also would like to recognize the other deacons that and elders that are in the house, and some of them actually may be counting the money as well. So we have Brother Ben. If you will come forward, we have a gift for you too. And I think, Debbie, there you are. Debbie, we also want to give you one of these as well. And then we have Richard and Yolanda, and Jimmy and Rosa. Would you like to come up? So we just want to present to you. Come on up, if you'll stand just for a minute. And if you would please help us acknowledge the leadership in the house. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're like presenting to you the leadership of Living Word Ministries. Amen. One round more. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So with this, we do have one other piece that we're going to honor today. And we've had a beautiful weekend. And it's a weekend about just being downloaded, God's how he feels about us, how his plans are for us, amen? And so another part of this is that we are looking to, for the first time, since we've been here at least, have a worship pastor. And so we'd like to invite, please, Sister Selena and Brother Chris forward. We're going to be installing Sister Selena as our worship pastor, amen. Forward. We haven't seen that much of her lately because she's laying a little low. She's taking care of her body. She's preparing, okay, to expand the family here. God has his plans. Amen? Amen. So she's taking care of herself. We've been missing her, but God's timing is always on time. Amen? He's never late. He's never early. And so we've been talking about installing her for probably a year, and so the time is now, and we're very excited to get to do that.
One of the charges of a pastor, a worship pastor, is to bring the presence of the Lord through worship and through praise. And, you know, the Lord said to establish the house of worship. Amen. His house should be a house of praise. And the beautiful thing, Sister Selena, is we know your heart. And we know that your heart is to worship. And that's why the Lord has moved and stirred us to call you out. And the beautiful thing about it, I'd like to share a scripture. It says John 4:23-24. But the hour has come, and now is, when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father. The Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to be worshipped him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So the calling in your life, Selena, is very special. And as Chris stands with you, I know that it's a commitment and a sacrifice for you as well, because I know she's here a lot with the worship team and constantly. And we thank you, Brother Chris, for standing with her and giving her the freedom. Yes, sharing her, exactly. And but we stand excited because I know that you are a reflection of the love that she has for the God as well, her God as well, Chris. And you're a man of God, and we're grateful for that. So the thing is the charge is are you willing, Selena, when you come into the house of the Lord, to come with a heart, a pure heart, to lead the people into a place of worship before your loving God. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share one more scripture with you. It says, O God, Psalm 63:1-3, Thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a day of thirsty, in a day dry and thirsty land where no water is, this to see the power and the glory, so that as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips praise thee. Amen. And it's a real honor to be able to establish, because we've, like Pastor Gail said, we've never really had a worship pastor. And I know that she's developed quite a team around her. And, you know, the thing is there, we have some really talented and beautiful individuals that have laid a commitment to serve as in the worship team. And the worship team is not an easy thing, because they meet once or twice during the week. This last week, we used them up, boy. You know, they sang in the morning. They sang in the afternoon, the evening, and we're grateful for the calling in their lives, and that they're willing to give their talents and of their time to worship the Lord. And it's not only a time of worship and a time of gift, but it's a calling in their lives. And I really believe that the worship is one of the things that really breaks the strongholds of the enemy. And the beautiful thing is the Lord is establishing a new sound over this valley. And I really believe that it's through the sound of worship, it's through the sound of the praises to God, that things start to move and things start to shift. And I really believe our God is calling us for such a time as this to be a house of worship. Amen? And I really believe that's why we need to establish Selena as that pastor. Amen?
Amen. So part of the charge was asking you when you come into the house, but the other part is that it's a lifestyle, and you know that, and we certainly work with that. And so part of that lifestyle is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you know. And it's a calling, and it's a part of all of our hearts, but it's another thing to lead other people in it and through it, because as the spiritual atmosphere changes, God's easier to access, and so we want that access, right? And so that's why, and corporately when we come together. And so the charge is there. There's a skill. There's a talent. But the more important thing is the heart. And so, Selena, you have that heart. And you serve with that heart. And we appreciate that. So with that, we have asked Pastor Don and the team to look to see if there's a prophetic word for you. And so... she wasn't able to join us this weekend, so she's trying to take care of her body and make sure she's keeping that baby comfortable and happy inside of her. And so at this time, we'd just like to let's worship the Lord. Just pray in your heavenly tongues right now. Amen? Amen. Let's just we're putting a charge over you, Selena.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. What I heard just now is that your name is being mentioned in heaven. Your name is being mentioned in heaven. And God knew when he placed you in your mother's womb this day, he saw you and he put his gifting in you and he placed his love upon you. And now is the time where it's not only are you going through a natural birthing, you're going to bring forth a new baby, but you're also in a spiritual birthing. First the natural, then the spiritual, says the Lord. For I'm calling you out. You've been one that has walked humbly before the Lord, and you've sat at his feet even in your private times. God has seen even the times where you've lifted up a song, even in the night seasons, in the darkest of hours, where your heart was broken, and it seemed as if, you know, darkness was just closing in on you. You had a song. You heard the song of heaven. You heard the song of restoration. And God is saying that that song of restoration, now is the time for it to be released to the world. See, a lot of times we go through things. We go through trials. We go through broken places. And what that's doing, it's carving out a well in our lives that we have to be dug out, right? And the deep, it's in the valley that the wells are dug. And in those valleys, when the wells are dug, it's the generations after that can come and draw from that well. So the Lord is saying, let that song that was birthed in you through trial, through hardship, through heartbreak, let it be released in this hour. Let it be released in this hour, and it is going to be a stream of healing for many people. The Lord says that you are made for this, that you are made for this. Don't let doubt, don't let insecurity even come up against your mind, because sometimes you say, God, I don't know. But yes, you can do it, because it's not by might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So today the Lord charge you to be strong and of a very good courage, and know that I am with you. I am for you, and I am working on your behalf. The Lord wants you to also know, and I declare this by the Spirit of the Lord, that you will walk in victory as a mother. That you will walk in victory even as a father. Woo! I feel it by the Spirit. And I declare in the name of Jesus that you shall bring forth this child. You shall bring forth this child. And it's going to be even a child that carries the legacy of worship. For the destiny is upon his life as well. And it'll be a child that has the song of the Lord in its mouth. And it will know even the high praises of God. It will know the house of God. And the Lord is saying that the call is for the generation. It's not just for you. But I see even as David anointed Solomon to build a temple. So the temple shall be built in that generation and the generation after. God is with you and God is for you. Woo! For you are loved. Woo. Come on, let's stretch our hands. Yvonne, would you come up and just pray over them? Song of the Lord.
So I heard over you, Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So what the Lord is saying, you have such a pure heart. Such a very humble, pure heart. God honors that. So he's going to begin to open your eyes to see things that you haven't seen. Yes. I see you and I see Moses. And how when he was in the presence of God, and then when he got out of there and he went to his people, his face was glowing. He's calling your friend. Yeah. I'm calling your friend. Will you seek me in the secret place? I'm calling your friend. Will you seek me in the secret place? I'm calling you friend. Yes. I'm calling you friend. Yes, God. Da, 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 da.
also heard, for both of you, Isaiah 43:19. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're making a new thing in them, oh God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. I thank you, oh God. Their hearts are open. Their minds are open for what you have for them in this new season, oh God. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, oh God. For even this new season of stretching, oh God. God, for you stretch, but you do not break. Yeah. You put a fire on them, oh God, but do not consume them, oh God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they will not grow tired or weary, but that they will enjoy, oh God, ministry. That they will enjoy family, oh God. That they will enjoy marriage, oh God. That they will enjoy each other, oh God, like never before, oh God. And that they will enjoy being themselves, oh God. And being your presence and all joyful. And I see you skipping. Before the Lord. You're like very joyful. You like to skip before Him. You're like a child. You call Him Daddy. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Lord God, we just pray a hedge of protection in Jesus' name round about their family, God, and this couple, Lord God, as they go before even. Oh, God, the armies of God, God, and they lift up a praise, God. I thank you, Lord God, that they are going to declare the sound of heaven in this place. God, we come against every bit of fear in Jesus' name. God, we break fear and intimidation of the enemy, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are for them. And if you are for them, who can be against them? Lord God, so we seal this word by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
So, praise God. Amen. So it is our honor as pastors, amen, to present to you our worship pastor, Selena Trujillo, and her husband, Chris. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank you all for choosing to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. At this time, we'll dismiss the Children's for Children Church. I think it was important that they recognize the new leadership as deacons, as well as Pastor Selena and Brother Chris. Amen. You know, this morning we have some really individuals that we love to serve together with. And we have Pastor Floyd and Pastor Tamika with us this morning. Go ahead and stand and say hi to the people. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. Amen. Our brothers and sisters from Colorado Springs. Amen. They didn't bring any of their boys with them this time, but praise the Lord. And it was important for us to bring someone, a prophetic individual that didn't really, this is the first time they've ever been to New Mexico, I think. But they came with the direction and the guidance of God and the voice of God and the freedom of God to speak over the lives of the people of this church. And we're so grateful to now have met family and friends, amen, that we can call friends and family. And it's Sister Yvonne, amen. Say hi to the people. She's small in stature, but pretty strong in spirit. Amen. Mighty, mighty boy. She gives you a knockout punch. And we have our wonderful, wonderful Pastor Don with us. Amen. Amen. And she's going to give the word this morning. Let's give her a warm welcome. Amen. Amen. You want to come up here? Praise God.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Wow, wow. What a weekend. What a weekend it has been in the presence of the Lord. And I'm just so honored. You know, I was texting a group of young ministers that I have the privilege to just kind of pour into at home. And I've been in contact with them. And as I was driving through your beautiful country, you know, or your beautiful land, your beautiful state of New Mexico, and just, you know, observing the beauty of the Lord, you know, in creation, I was thinking how amazing it is and that the gospel can take you to so many different places. You know, I've had the, you know, privilege to go to different countries and stuff, but It's just amazing that the people you will meet, the relationships that you build, you know, when we share the commonality of loving Jesus is amazing. And I don't take that for granted. I love it. And so I'm just privileged to be among many of you this entire weekend. Of course, I want to honor your pastors, Pastor Peter and Pastor Gail. They've been such great hosts, and we love you. Thank you so much. I am from Oakland, California, out of Shiloh Church, and so I've seen them before at Shiloh, at certain leadership events, and so, but this is the first time we've had the opportunity to connect, and so I really do feel a connection and love for you, so love you, pastors. And then also I want to just shout out to Floyd and Tomika, amen. Just love hanging out with you all this weekend. So, amen. Well, I believe there is a word in the house, and we're going to get right into it. Oh, Yvonne, that's my girl, my sister. I brought her along. Again, she is small in stature, but, you know, her and her husband are mighty, and so I'm thankful that she was able to come with me. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do, Jesus, in this time, Lord God. We know that it's not the ending, but the beginning of something great, God, that you are doing, Lord God, in New Mexico, in Taos, Lord God, in Cuesta, Lord God, in Living Word Ministries, Lord God, that you are setting the stage for a mighty move of God. I feel it in the atmosphere and the spirit, Lord. And so I just pray that your word will come and set a blaze in this place, Lord God, that will minister to every heart, Lord God, that the seed of the word will go deep, Lord God, and that it will bring forth fruit, oh God, in due season, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you are after, oh God, something that's never been seen before. Lord God, that you are after something that's never been seen before in this day and time, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So the word that I'm going to bring tonight, it's a word that has, that was birthed in me a little over, I don't know how long ago, a year or so ago, but it's something that has literally shifted my life into a new direction and a new level. And I feel like that it's a word that God is birthing in the kingdom in this hour. And if you were with us on Friday night, I shared a word. It's very similar. It was the precursor to the word for the kingdom. And it really, I believe, has, like I said, caused the ministries that I'm a part of, our church as a whole, and my life to be shifted. And I really feel that God is doing the same thing in this church, that there is a shifting, there is a next level, there is a changing of course that God is doing. And I want to start by reading Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It'll be the premise for what we're going to be talking about. And if you need a title sermon, if you need a sermon title, it is titled The Posture of Prayer. The Posture of Prayer. So Philippians 3, 2 through 14 says, and we're starting, 12 through 14, starting in verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I love what Apostle Paul was saying here, because he was saying, you know what? There is something more to be attained in the Lord. You know, we know that the life of the Apostle Paul, that before he even became a Christian, he was a theologian of theologians. He was one of the highest Pharisees. He understood the law. He understood the word in a way that many did not. And that his even persecution of the Christians came really from a place what he felt was truth. Because he read the Torah. He read the prophetic utterances throughout the Old Testament. He knew about all the words of the Messiah. So he was dedicated, right, to the truth behind who the Messiah was going to be. But we knew that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, encountered him. And so once he came into relationship with Jesus, right, Paul was a pretty bad dude, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew a lot. And not only that, he began to operate in the things in which the scripture talked about, because not only did he have word, he had spirit, right? And so therefore, that's a perfect combination. He was able to step out in some things. But I love what Paul said here. He says, you know what, although, and he breaks it down in other versions. He said, I count what I know as dung, as like boo-boo, pretty much. You know, I count it as nothing. He said, because there's something more to be attained. What he understood was that the word unfolds and unfolds and unfolds, and there's always more to God, that we would never be able to exhaust, right, the knowledge of God, exhaust the greatness of God. We would never be able to truly, fully even operate in all the things that God can do and say, but yet we reach for it. There's more to do. There's more to accomplish. There's more to know. There's more anointing. There's more grace. There's more salvations to be had. There's more. There's more. There's more. Everyone says there's more. And God began to do something in me about a year or two ago, where I began to say, you know what, God, I want to see the more. You know what I'm saying? I want to see that for which I've heard about, and I've been under the prophetic unction, and I've heard the prophetic words, and I've heard people declaring, and in some place I've experienced it in kind of like ebbs and flows, like, oh, you see a miracle and that's great, but then you don't experience one for 10 years and then you see another one. You know what I'm saying? Like that back and forth. And there was a hunger that began to stir in my spirit. And I said, God, I want to see the God of the New Testament. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for a little bit. It's been about 30-something years now where I've been, you know, kind of walking with God. And Shiloh Church, the church that I've come from, is a very prophetic church. It's an apostolic church. And so we've had, you know, the opportunity to hear some of the great voices of our age, right? Speak the word of the Lord and prophesy about revival and prophesy about the end times and prophesy about the move of God that a generation has never seen. I've heard people like, I wrote down some of the names of the people that I've heard. I've heard people like Heidi Baker and Cindy Jacobs, and I mean, been in the same room, in the same seat, and not that they're anybody, but they are somebody in the spirit, right? And we honor that they hear the voice of the Lord. I've heard my pastor, David Kiley, and Melinda and Medina Pullings, and Frank DiMaggio, and Bob Sorge, and all these great men and women of God sit and declare that God's going to move. There is a move of God. There's a generation on the earth that's going to move in power. There's a generation on the earth that may possibly see, this was Pastor Violet, the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've sat under that, and I've been birthed in that, and I've grown up under that. And there's something in me that's saying, God, I want to see it. Woo! I am not satisfied any longer with just hearing about it. I am not satisfied any longer. And trust me, I believe my prophetic office is that of a prophet. I love the prophetic word, but I don't want to hear no more prophetic words if there's no demonstration. I say, God, give me all the prophetic word, but I want to see the demonstration of power in my generation. Because as I look and I take survey of what's happening in the world and in society and in the country, things are getting worse out there. But the word says in the book of Joel, he says, you know what? It's going to be a dark time, right? It's going to be a time of deep darkness and deep pain.
But there is a people that will arise. The word says that there is a people that will arise. There is an army that's going to know who they are. That's going to walk in rank. They're going to walk in strive with each other. They're going to know their purpose. They're going to know their destiny. And they are going to demonstrate the power of God. And I began to get a cry, and I believe it was a supernatural impartation, because I said, God, if we're just doing church every Sunday, if we're just doing religious services, I am not interested. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in services. I'm not interested in the cycle. You know what I'm saying? Because that gets tired. I say, God, I want you, and I want your demonstration. I want you, God, and I want your power. I want you, and I want revival. Woo! I believe that there are people that are going to awaken to the cry of, God, we want a revival that the world has never seen before. I'm talking about a revival that is recorded in human history. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a move of God that the world stands up and take notice. Not that the church is just talking about, but that the unbeliever is talking about. I'm talking about a move of God that cannot be denied. God began to breathe this thing in me, and it began to shift how I move and shift how I see and shift what I do as it relates to the kingdom and the things of God. And so I was reminded, as I was thinking about this, of the game Mario Brothers. You guys remember old Mario Brothers, like in the old Nintendo? You know what I'm saying? The brown box, and you had to take the cartridges and blow on it. You know what I'm saying? Right? To make it work. And so there was always, in these video games, the whole goal was to get to the win the castle. You know, or to get to the castle to rescue the princess. Right? You wanted to get to the next level. And I remember, you know, there were times where the further you would go, the harder it would get. Right? The further you would get in the game, right, it was more difficult to attain. And so, but there was something that you could do. There was codes that you can find out, right? That you would get deeper and they would give you a code to save your place in line. You know what I'm saying? And then also there were cheat codes that we found out you can get, that they would do magazines, and you can find a cheat code, right, that can kind of like get you to the end of the game if you wanted it. You didn't have to go through all the steps. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, there is no cheat code in the kingdom. Woo! Right? There is no cheat code in the kingdom. You can't skip steps to get to the end. That there is a process that you have to go through, right? There is something that each generation has to pay the price. And I was thinking about this because, you know, I'm kind of like in between the generation. I think I'm still young. You know what I mean? I'm still young. But yet there's a group under me, you know, in their 20s, in their 30s, that I feel like God is like, I need you to mentor. And even in their, you know, in their junior high and senior high years, right? But I've noticed that there's a generation that does not want to pay the price. Woo! Right? There is a generation, and a generation doesn't even necessarily mean an age group, but some people don't want to go through the steps in order to get the glory. And what the Lord says is that he told me this very clearly. He says, you know, you, the anointing that you're walking in, you didn't pay the price for, really? Check this out. He said, and this was very specific to Shiloh Church, and I believe it's here for you too, that you're walking in fields that someone else interceded for. Woo! That oftentimes, and that's really how it's supposed to be. That the generation previous to us is supposed to win the land and win the fields that the next generation can occupy and then take more territory. And so oftentimes we get confused that because the presence of God shows up in a place, it's because we paid the price. No, it was because Pastor Violet and Pastor David interceded and prayed for years and years. It was because your pastors prayed for years and years that we can sometimes step into the presence and feel the glory, and we think, oh, it was about me. Ooh, there's a price that has to be paid. There is a sound of the abundance of rain. And what I heard the Lord say very clearly is that what we have to pay in the spirit to get to the next level is we got to sow some seeds in prayer. There has to be a prayer revival that takes place in our lives and in our churches that we have not yet stepped into. You know, I love the word, and I believe I'm a student of the word, the best that I can be. And if you study the histories of revival, the moves of God, they always began in prayer. They always began with a group of people saying, we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek the face of God. We're going to come together and we're going to pray and we're going to press through no matter how long it takes, no matter what we got to give up. We're going to seek God and we're going to love him and we're going to go after him. And it says that from those places that people began to get saved, right? And then that cities began to transform and then that the Holy Spirit broke out. But it always started from a consecrated effort to pray. And God began to speak to me. And he brought me to 1 Kings 18:41. And it was about the prophet Elijah. And I heard God prophetically say that, you know, I saw in my mind's eye the prophet Elijah. There had been a showdown. I'm not going to read it, but it says that there had been a showdown with the prophets of Baal in this story. And that Elijah prayed, and the God that answered by fire rained down on the place, right? That the prophets of Baal were dancing and jigging and doing all their little cantations all day with no results. And then it said that Elijah prayed, and the God that answered by fire fell on this place. And he told King Ab, after they killed the prophets of Baal, he says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And the story goes on to say that Elijah girded himself up, that he ran and he positioned himself to pray. And it said that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. It says 7 times. And his servant would come and say, well, I don't see anything. He would say, go back again. Then he prayed some more. And he was in a birthing position. It said he got on the ground and he put his head in between his knees and he began to birth out the move of God, the rain of God. The Bible says that he shall come to us like the rain, the latter and the former rain together. I want you to know that there is a sound of the abundance of rain over this church. I see it and I hear it in the prophetic words that have been gone forth after the prophets of Baal have been done away with. That's what we've been doing. When the prophetic word has gone forth, the prophets has come, but now you got to pray. It's not enough to get the prophetic word. You got to birth the word. The prophetic word speaks to your destiny and what God sees, but you have to partner with the word in prayer. You have to partner with the word. You have to position yourself in a place where you hear and you see the rain. And don't get discouraged by small beginnings, because Elijah's servant came and said, well, I see a little something. It's just the size, you know, of a man's hand. Right. And Elijah said, well, that's it. That's what we're waiting for. And they began to run. And by the end time that they got to where they were going, they said it was pouring down raining. And so what I'm here to tell you, Living Word Ministries, is that God is about to rain down. Right. In New Mexico, in Taos, in Cuesta, that there is a sound of the abundance of rain, but we gotta pray. We gotta push it out. We gotta pray. I believe that we're right on the edge of an open heaven, that you are right on the edge of an open heaven. And what you desire to see in your personal lives, in your congregation, there must be something that we must do. It's no negotiation. It's not an option. There's no cheat codes. There's no backwards way. You got to pray. You got to pray. We got to pray. We got to consecrate. We got to press in. We got to pray in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to pray. We got to pray. What the Lord said, and again, I believe this is something That's where the body of Christ is large. He says it's time to sow to yourself seeds of righteousness through prayer. This is what he spoke to me. There is a generation that now has to run their own race. The doors have been opened to you. The building has been given to you. Woo! The anointing came through prayer and the sacrifice of people of old. But now, Living Word Ministries, it's time for you all to run your own race. Ooh, you got to run your own race. And it says, and we have to pay the price for the victory that we desire to see. And this is what the Lord says, is we got to pray our own price. We got to pray our own price. All right, I want you to turn to Luke 19. Is this okay? This okay? Because the Lord challenged us and challenged me with this word. And I tell you, it has shifted everything about who I know God to be and what I know God to be and who I know I am. Because prayer changes things. It changes things. It changes things. All right, Luke 19, 41 through 47. It says, now as he drew near, and it's talking about Jesus, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if he had known even you, or if you had known even you, especially in your day, the things that make for your peace. So Jesus began to cry out, and he's talking to the city, and he says, if you had known in your day the things that make for your peace, but now that they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surrounding you and close you in on every side and level you, and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Listen, this is what he says. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. So Jesus was prophesying over Jerusalem. And he was saying, if you had known who was with you, if you had known that there was an opportune time. See, what we have to understand is that there are times and seasons in the Lord. There are prophetic times and seasons. And there are times when the windows of heaven open up. And in that moment, we can actually press in and shift the very direction of our lives and of our church. There is a day of visitation. But we also have to understand is that that day shifts too. And so we have to know by the Spirit what time it is. What time is it in the Spirit? What is God speaking to you right now? You guys got the word. What is God telling you to do? And then he says, he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it into the den of thieves. I believe as I was reading this, the Lord just highlighted this to me very clearly about the church today. And again, I believe it's a challenge by the Spirit of the Lord, because we've heard Jesus going into the marketplace, turning over tables, right? But I didn't realize, I think I didn't fully get that there was an anger, there was a frustration that rose up in Jesus because the church had missed the mark. I believe he was angry because they missed the day of their visitation. They missed the fact that the Messiah was in the realm, was in the room. They missed the fact that Jesus was among them because they weren't praying. Woo. They weren't connected. They weren't in the presence. But what they were doing is they were buying and selling. And so what the Lord has told me is that we have to make sure we don't become consumer Christians. And what does that mean? Come on. That means that we have to make sure we don't come and become transactionary with God. God, I'll give you some. You give me some. Woo! God, I'm coming to receive, you know, healing and breakthrough, but then I'm going to leave. That it's this transactionary type thing, right? Because that's not what prayer is. Prayer is a place where you come and you sit under. Woo! And you don't want nothing but to just be at his feet. And you say, God, I'm here to seek your face and to seek your word. God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? And what you have to understand is that when we get in that place, God will move us to where we need to be. We cannot be transactionary Christians. you know, going to this conference, going to that conference, buying this good music, buying that good music. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're missing the point that the Holy Spirit and Jesus is already here. He's already among us. He's already with us. And if we would just stop, we would realize it. Woo, God is saying, don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss the day of your visitation. So I began to look up this idea of the posture of prayer. And what posture means, it just means a position. That you're in position. How many people want to be in position? That you're in position. It means it's a frame of mind. When you begin to get in posture, when you begin to posture yourself in a prayer, you get the frame of mind of prayer. It's like your mind are constantly on the things of heaven. Your mind are constantly on the things of God. I believe the number one attack against the believers today is not necessarily the devil coming and, you know, shaking a pitchfork at us. It's distraction. That's how we get off. We get distracted, right? We get our minds off of the things of God. You know, prayer occurs so many times in the scripture. And I was driving one day, and the Lord began to speak to me. And he began to say, you know what? Oftentimes, people don't pray is because they make it about routine and ritual. Right? That we think prayer is you have to do it a certain way or at a certain time or in a certain place. But the posture of prayer means, again, is that your life is positioned as prayer. It means that there is a humility, there is a humbleness that you're always in, that we're always before God in prayer. And I love it because it talks about being passionate about the person that you're praying to. Oftentimes, we don't pray or we lack prayer is because we don't make it about our love for Jesus. And get what I'm saying. Song of Songs. 8-5, it says this. Who is it that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? That the bridegroom was leaning on her beloved. The undercurrent of everything we do for God has to be about love. It has to be about love. It has to be because we love God with all of our heart. And when we get so madly in love with Jesus, when we become so enthralled with Jesus, we can't help but pray. Because it's not about what you say. Prayer is oftentimes silent. You can meditate. It's your mind and your heart connected to the Holy Spirit. Come on, I need you to get this. I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to get this, that it's you living your day, every moment, every minute, connected to God. It's understanding that he loves you and you love him. I love Psalms 141, verse 2. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. What that means is that let my prayer arise to you as a fragrance. It's not something that I got to work it up and work to do, but it's just me saying, God, I love you. God, I worship you. And that begins to arise as a fragrance unto God, and it begins to bless his name, and it begins to allow for a space for the Spirit of the Lord to rest in your presence. God is saying, it's time to get back to prayer. I want to read one more scripture. It says Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. God is saying that we have to position ourselves in a place of seeking his face. This is what the Spirit of the Lord said. From the place of perfect love. This is how we're going to get to that place of seeking the face of God. It has to be a place of perfect love. Jesus is saying, oh, sorry, before I say that, I was thinking about this, about why did the disciples ask Jesus, Jesus, show me how to pray, teach me how to pray. So they grew up Jewish, right? So they had, I mean, a lot of prayers. You know what I'm saying? That they would recite the Torah. They had to memorize the first five books of the Bible, right? And they would pray ritualistically, if that's the word, right? And they would have a very, stringent way of praying. And Jesus learned that too, because he was what? Jewish. So he knew that form of prayer too. But I believe that when Jesus stepped into his ministry, that they saw something different, right? It said that Jesus would what? Steal away. And he would go away and he would pray unto his Father God. And I believe they saw something different in Jesus. That they saw such perfect love, right? A communion between Jesus and his Father God. That the disciples said, that's kind of different. And they said, Jesus, teach me how to do what you're doing. Teach me how to commune with God the way you commune. Right? You're not reciting the Torah. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing the rock. You know, if you ever see Jewish people pray, you know, they do the rock. Maybe you don't wear your talmudka. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't put on the prayer shawl that they put on. I got one too. I like it. You know what I'm saying? They got the prayer shawl. Maybe Jesus, I'm sure Jesus was doing all that because he was a little rebel. That's why the Pharisees didn't like him, because he didn't follow no rules. Right? So Jesus wasn't doing none of that. And so the disciple says, what you're doing is different. Teach me how to do that. And Jesus began to say, all you got to do is say, Daddy, Daddy, you in heaven. You're so holy. You're so holy. God, let me understand your word. God, I pray that your kingdom come. He began to show them how to have a conversation. Ooh, with their daddy. He showed them how to have a conversation with their daddy from a place of authenticity, from a place of an authentic heart, right? From a place of truth and a place of love. And I believe that's what God is calling his church back into. But it must be intentional. It must be intentional. It can't be haphazard. And I believe that it must be both corporate and individual. And so what we did, you know, and this is just something that the Lord told us to do, because the ministry came and was like, you know, we were talking about starting a deliverance type healing ministry, and we called it the Freedom Ministry. And the Lord said, before you do any of that, what I want you to do is set a perimeter of prayer around the church. So he had challenged he said, because we have been experiencing in our church a lot of attack. It was a lot of attack, and one of our elders had passed away, like, randomly, like, within a week. She went into the hospital, my mentor, personal mentor, so I feel like I could talk about it. On a Sunday, she died by next Friday. Not sick at all. And that was one of many things that were happening. It was just these random attacks of the enemy. And we began to seek the face of God, like, God, what is going on? And what you have to understand, that I want you to get this, that there is a war in the heavens over the move of God in this territory. We have to lift our vision. We walk in the spirit, that we are people that are spiritual people. And so many times we only live by what we see. But God is saying, lift your vision. Move by the things of the Spirit. Move by the things of God. Move in the supernatural. And God is saying that God was telling us there was something taking place in the Spirit over this place, because we were at a point of a shift. God is saying, I'm shifting you to the next level. And so he said, I want you to build a perimeter around the body. And so he said, start a prayer perimeter. And this is something that we were like, okay, what does that mean? And I'm not saying that this is what you have to do, but I want you to see how intentional God was speaking this to us. He said, start a prayer perimeter. And he brought me to, I believe it's in Chronicles, First Chronicles. It talks about how when the temple was built, that they set ministers every hour, that they would have the worship and they would have the priests ministering to God. And it was every hour. And this is where you get the idea of the 24 houses of prayer, that for 24 hours a day, that's what the word said, that people would be ministering, praying unto the Lord. So God said, I want you to start a prayer perimeter in the church where you get the congregation to begin to pray and begin to sign up for just an hour a day, for an hour a week, actually. Give us 1 week and begin to pray. And you have a set time, and we began to, okay, we did a timetable, and we were like, okay, who got this date? I remember, like, for the first couple months, it was like five of us, and we literally was on every hour like, Lord Jesus, here we are. But it began to grow. God began to move, and now we're at, like, at 14 hours a day. We have one person just saying, we're going to facilitate the prayer in the house, and it's a perimeter around the house, the church. And I'm telling you, since then, we've seen a shift. We've seen signs, wonders, and miracles. We've seen people being delivered and set free. We've seen believers coming into the house. God is doing a new thing, but it began in prayer. And are we there to where we want to be? Absolutely not. We're still praying. We're letting God let everything be birthed in prayer. God, let the move of God be birthed in prayer. Because if we do it in our own strength and if we do it in our own might, it's going to fail. So the charge for you today, as many of you have received your prophetic words, many of you have got your to-do list, God is saying, let it be birthed in prayer. God is saying, you have to position yourself. You got to get down. You got to go low. You got to put your head between your knees and you got to push. You got to push until something happens. And you got to keep praying until something changes. And you got to keep moving until revival sparks in this territory. Because I believe it's coming. And I believe that God has spoken it. We've heard the prophetic words. We've heard the prophetic unctions. But now God is saying, it's on you. God has done what he needed to do. Woo! He's spoken in clarity. He's spoken intentionally. He's brought deliverance and healing. And so now it's time to pray. Church, God is saying, push it through. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't get weary in well-doing. Set a time. Get organized with it if you have to. But pray every day. There has to be prayer. Every day. It doesn't have to be here. It could be in your houses. But every day. And here's the thing, pastors. You have to know what's happening. Right, because we had an intercessory team, and we love the intercessors. But I asked the question, how do I know y'all intercessing? You know what I'm saying? Like, people are intercessors, and I believe in them, and I love them, but how do we know you intercessing? Where is the intercession? You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to, I got to know. I believe the Lord wants to know. That, okay, what's your hour of intercession? Where are you praying at? You praying at the house? You praying at the work? You praying in the car? But wherever it is, it has to be intentional. And I believe that's the strategy for you moving forward. Prayer. God is saying, pray and move. Move and pray. Pray and move. Move and pray. So if I can get a musician up here, I want to end today. We're going to end with prayer, and we're just going to thank God. Come on, how many people believe this is the word of the Lord? You feel a stirring in your heart. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Come on. I just want you to position yourself, whatever that may be. Get in a prayer posture for yourself. For some of you, it may be kneeling. So for some of you, it may be standing. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. But I believe that God wants to do something, and he wants to birth. Amen. Woo! He wants to birth this thing in this house.
Amen.
He wants to birth this thing in this house. It had to be birthed where we are. And I'm telling you, our lives have never been the same. Never been the same. Because whenever we get weary and well-doing, prayer lifts us up. Whenever we get discouraged, prayer lifts us up. Whenever we feel like we can't make it, prayer brings us before the throne room of God. The only way that you're going to make it and do what you're called to do is going to be through prayer. Come on, if you speak in your heavenly language, will you begin to pray?
Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, God.
You deserve the glory.
Amen. So in this time, I just want to begin to have you guys just begin to cry out in prayer. Come on. There's a difference. See, what happens is, yeah, what happens is sometimes it's easier, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. It's easier to sing a song than to cry out in prayer. That we sing, but then when we say pray, silence. Yeah. God wants to break through that in Jesus' name. Come on, you have to allow prayer to rise from the place of desperation in your innermost being. Begin to cry out and say, God, we need you. God, we gotta have you in this place. God, come and move in power and strength, oh God, in Living Word Ministry. Yay. Come on, begin to say, God, come down. Oh, God, come down. God, come down. Oh, God, we press into you, God. Oh. Yay, come on, church, pray. Pray. Hey, there it is. There it is. You got to open up your mouth. You got to begin to say, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, we're so desperate for you, God. We need you, God. Lord, we need you to move in our, Lord God, city, God. We need you to move in our families, God. Oh, God, we need you, God, to come and break through, God. Oh, God, we need revival, God. Oh, God, we need you to save. We need you to set free, God. We need you to deliver, God. Woo. Oh, God, we need you. We need you. We need you, God. Oh, choco, choco, come on, we're going to press a little bit longer. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on. He's birthing something. I see it. He's birthing something.
Hallelujah. Come on, who's buzzing and I feel it in school. Come on, who's grabbing a hold of who said God move in this city? God, who said move, Lord God, in Crystal? God, move in Towers. Lord God, move, Lord God. Yeah, God. God, we pray, God, that you bring salvation, Lord God. Lord God, that you bring deliverance, Lord God. Lord God, that you give this church strategy, God, on how to move. Lord God, that you give them strategy, God, on how to expand. God, we pray, Lord God, that the, oh God, building will get too small for the increase, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that signs are returning. God, we pray for the prodigals, oh God. Lord God, we pray, oh God, that you will come, oh God, and restore. Woo! Yay. Yay. Shokora basha tiyerere. Ro shokora basa tiyerere basa. Come on, Holy Spirit is in this place. He's in this place. Come on, some of you are breaking through. Some of you are breaking through. Some of you are breaking through. Lord God, we break you. We press into the next level. God, we birth the move of God. God, we birth revival. Lord God, we birth, oh God, the move of God. Woo. Yay. Yay, 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 God, we thank you. Woo.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it. For from you are all peace, and to you are all peace. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all to you are all peace. You deserve the glory.
Let us stand this morning, amen. Just let us stand in the presence of God. Just raise your hands where you're at. Just thank the Lord for who He is. Just thank Him. Just say thank you, Lord. Just thank Him. Thank Him for the goodness that He is. Just thank Him for all that He's done for you. Just worship Him. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being my God. For always being there for me, Father, Lord. No matter what I'm going through, my God shows up. He's a powerful God. No matter what I face, my God is with me. He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Father, I pray right now that in the atmosphere of worship, in the atmosphere of praise, Father, right now that you would change the hearts of your people. Father, let the hearts of the people just say, my God is my God. My God is my God. Just worship him and grab a hold of him like never before. Oh Lord, just allow your people just to embrace you and to know you, my God. Oh Father, Lord God, let them just grab a hold of you this morning, Father. Love you, Lord. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. The word that we heard this morning was to challenge us to take this to our homes.
Yes.
That we can have this at home. You can grab your wife, you can grab your husband, and you can pray, you can grab your family, you can pray, you can call on the name of the Lord, you can bring down His presence where you're at, because you are a child of the Most High God. God hears you, God loves you, and it's by getting on our knees, getting in our faces, and seeking God, and saying, Lord, we want you in this place, we want you in our lives. Father, we want to see changes, we want to see the manifestations of God in our lives. But you know what? Sometimes we just gotta make time for Him.
That's right.
How many can say amen to that? Amen. This morning we've been challenged. We've been challenged to take time for God.
Amen.
Take time for God. And watch what He will do.
Amen.
And watch what He will do. Isn't that awesome? You know, this week has been a very special week. We want to just thank you so much.
Amen,
Pastor
amen,
Don.
Amen, amen.
Pastor Yvonne, I mean Sister Yvonne back there somewhere, and Pastor Floyd, Pastor
yes,
Tamika, thank you so
yes,
much.
Thank you.
Thank you for walking with us. And Pastor Steve had to go back late last night anyway, but we're grateful for him as well.
Yes.
But you know what? The challenge was the word has been spoken. That it fall on good soil.
Yes.
That it fall on good soil. Do we receive it, and are we going to apply it? Are we going to make it happen? That's what the Lord is saying, and that's what the Lord wants to see. Amen. And I thank you for the challenge, my sister. Thank
Amen.
You so much. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence being here, Father. And I just really pray right now, Father, the Lord, that everyone here may have felt your presence like never before. And the Father, as you came to challenge them and to let them know the love that you have for them, the Father, that they would, each one of us would make time to seek you. And Father, the Lord, that we've been crying out, we've been wanting, we've been desiring things. Father, it's time that we come to a place where we put you as God. We ask you, Lord, come into our hearts and move us, Father. Teach us how we ought to pray. Teach us, Lord. Oh, teach us, my God. Teach us, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, just challenge our hearts right now. Father, I just thank you so much for bringing, Father, the word, for bringing your presence. And Father, I pray the blessing of God upon the family of God. And Father, I pray that this would be a day that would change the rest of their lives, because this is a day that they encountered and came to God in a new way. Father, bless us the rest of this evening. And Father, we thank you for all that you do. And Father, I even bless right now the fellowship and the food that was prepared, Father. And I pray, Father, that all, Father, as we just enjoy each other, the fellowship and the encouragement, that you would be in the midst of all of it, Father. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Remember, we have the fellowship hall. There's food next door. Please stay and participate and talk this morning. And any of the guests that were here, we thank you for coming. We love you. God bless. Bye-bye.